is the monthly report for Aid Northwest. Aid Northwest is Advocates for Immigrants in Detention Northwest. Aid Northwest supports immigrants in detention and when released from the Northwest ICE Processing Center in Tacoma through welcoming services focused on transitional support and connection to vital resources for resettlement. Hi, my name is Louisa Beal, and I'm one of more than 200 volunteers with Aid Northwest. Aid Northwest volunteers operate a welcome center, which is an RV and a couple of tents outside the release gate of the Immigration Detention Center on the Tide Flats in Tacoma. Volunteers greet immigrants as they are released from detention and help them arrange travel all over the country to reach their family members. Here is the Aid Northwest statistical report for July 2022. In July, we greeted 218 immigrants who were released from detention and helped them reach their relatives all over the country. We provided overnight accommodation to 19 people at our hospitality house. We gave out 21 coats and 181 backpacks to the people released. Our volunteers provided 210 rides to release detainees to the airport or to the airport bus. And for those inside the detention center, volunteers wrote 40 letters to detainees and made 35 in-person visits. And we provided $20 in phone funds to 72 immigrant detainees. All in all, Aid Northwest volunteers gave 1,025 hours during the month of June. This work is so rewarding. If you'd like to join us, please fill out a volunteer application on our website, aidnw.org. Paralegal Diana Perez stopped by the Aid Northwest Welcome Center to offer thanks. Here is her story. I was released from the detention center on March 8, 2016. I was detained for exactly 4 months and released on International Women's Day, which is why I don't forget the date. My stay with Aid Northwest was very short, but something that I will never be able to forget. I remember that it was a very cold day. I was released together with my sister, Elizabeth, who thankfully was never separated from me during our detention process. I must confess that I wrote this with tears in my eyes. I will never forget the weather that day. The sky was clear, but it was very cold. It was around 2 or 3 in the afternoon. The GEO officers just took us out and told us, "You are free. Welcome to the USA." We asked for our relative, and they said that he had to come and pick us up soon and that we couldn't wait inside. The GEO officer pointed to the Aid Northwest RV and told us to go there and that they would let us stay until our relative arrived. It was getting late and dark. It was really cold, or my body was just reacting in a scared way. I had no shoes or socks. The only jeans I had in between moving from one detention center to another were ripped, and I was wearing scratchy and not warm sweatpants that the GEO gave me. Much less did I have a coat to cover me from the intense cold that day. I remember that two beautiful and warm women received us and welcomed us. They gave us coats, hats, gloves, and socks. They made us hot chocolate and told us not to be scared. The hug and the hot chocolate were the best and warmest welcome I had ever received. From the moment I received that hug, I knew that the nightmare of having been locked up without being able to see the light of day, without being able to breathe fresh air, I knew that nightmare was over. The journey that I experienced to get to what I do right now has been one of the hardest journeys of my life. I originally managed to get my law degree in my home country. Arriving here and having many barriers, including language, not knowing anyone, being in a whole new culture, place, environment, I didn't know if I wanted to continue with that career, since the harm I suffered in my country was derived from wanting to help, and because the passion I felt for my career. I wasn't sure if I wanted to keep doing the same work because of the trauma of being involved with activism. Over time, I realized that passion to help had not died. I had to convince myself that it was necessary to first prepare myself and be able to speak English and be able to communicate correctly and effectively. I realized that my legal skills had not died and that they were only there to be taken up again and to use all my knowledge. But this time, I saw that those who needed me were my people, people who were in the same situation as me, but who did not have the knowledge necessary to fight to stay in this country and move on with their life and dreams. I fought very hard to find an opportunity in a law firm. Yes, I struggled to be accepted. Even in some places, they made fun of me and the passion I felt. It was no longer about money, power, or position, but about helping those who have no voice, who are judged, who are not understood. All the challenges that I received and continue to receive, because I am still learning, I try to overcome them in the best way, overcome them and continue to grow professionally and personally. When I tell my clients that I understand, it is because I really do. I know how difficult it is to live thinking that at any moment they will come to us with a deportation order. I know what it is to live in fear and the shadow that we will return to the same nightmare. Well, those who first helped us were you. Then my special and great thanks to the nonprofit organization Tacoma Community House, who gave me all their available resources to be able to remove all those barriers that we think are impossible to remove from our path. Tacoma Community House offered me education, such as ESL, ABE courses. They offered me legal help, as well as social workers and mental help. They helped me create solid foundations to get ahead in this place. Thanks to them, we got help from the Northwest Immigration Rights Project, another nonprofit organization who helped me and my sister with our asylum case. My special and big shout out to Novo Legal Group for giving me the opportunity to further develop my skills and knowledge to continue fighting and helping our immigrant community who deserve quality legal defense. I'm also grateful for them having accepted to take my case so that I have the opportunity to prepare my own asylum case, since we are still in the process of fighting. Thanks for being my guide to emerge victorious, not only in my case, but in that of all our clients, to whom I put all my passion and love for my work in each of their cases.
Thank you, Diana.
Now, I have excerpts from reports from the Welcome Center volunteers last month. Today was so busy that when we sat down around 4, we realized we'd never even put out the sign. We hit the ground running. 8 men had been released early and were milling about. 3 more men were released at 2:15. There were 4 men from Senegal, 1 from Mauritania, 2 from India, 2 from Guatemala, 1 from Colombia, and 1 from Russia. 2 more men were released around 4 p.m. from Peru and India. One of the Senegalese men came out with only a paper ID, so we took him back inside for a real one. The Colombian and other Guatemalan men knew they would not be able to get tickets that day because their family was working until later, so we planned to take them to the hospitality house. The 2 Indian gentlemen wanted to go to the Sikh temple. One had a plane ticket for tomorrow night. 2 Senegalese and the Russian man got tickets fairly quickly, and Annie took them to the airport bus a little after 4. The last 2 folks had tickets before Annie made it back to the RV, and around 5 she was headed to take them to the airport. Mike and I took the 2 men to the house. And another Welcome Center report. On this sunny afternoon, we welcomed 11 men from Belarus, Peru, Nepal, Uzbekistan, India, Georgia, Honduras, Guatemala, and Bangladesh. Thanks to Averill jumping into cover, we had four of us to assist these sweet men. All got tickets, and none needed to go to the house. One young man was in near tears as he thought he wouldn't be able to get a ticket today, but family or friends came through at the last minute, and he was so happy. Steve was our volunteer driver and made another loud, funny, boisterous guest extremely happy when he offered to go by a store on the way to the bus so he could buy some smokes. Another guest's family bought him a ticket for Friday, but caught his error before we did and canceled and quickly bought him a new one. Steve took all to the bus in multiple runs. We wrapped up around 7:15. Fun team and fun night. And one more Welcome Center note. A Cuban man pulled up in his truck and explained that he had been driving nearby and had to stop by. He was released 2 years ago and had been helped by a woman with gray hair, about 50, at the RV, and was extremely grateful. He was a delight, even though Bill and I could only understand about half of what he said, even after I asked him to speak more slowly. He now has a residency card and couldn't stop exclaiming how wonderful the volunteer who helped him and the organization was. It was very sweet. Well, that's all from the Welcome Center. But mark your calendars to join us at our next community meeting, which will be Wednesday, September 21st, from 9:30 to 11 a.m. on Zoom. Our guest speaker will be Caitlin Wasley of Refugee Women's Alliance in Seattle. She has worked in refugee and immigrant services since 2009. If you'd like to join us, send an email to officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. That's officevolunteer, all one word, at aidnorthwest.org, and a Zoom link will be sent to you. This month's interview is with Bob Spangler, who is a board member with Aid Northwest, whose term will be ending this year.
So, Bob, when did you start volunteering with Aid Northwest?
You know, I think it was about 2016, and I had heard about AID before that. I live on Vashon Island, and there is a church here that whose members would go once a month on a Saturday morning, I believe, and just meet with families who were visiting. Those were the days, pre-COVID days, when people could visit in person. So I had heard that there was activity down at the Welcome Center and, at the ICE processing facility. And I also was aware that there was a group called the Northwest Roundtable, which seemed like it was not a 501c3, but an informal group. I'm not sure about that. But my wife and I knew some people who went down on these Saturday morning visits, and we decided to go to a volunteer orientation, which we did. And my reaction, I had two reactions, I guess. One was, the organization seems a little bit disorganized. but secondly, when we went to the Welcome Center, we realized what an incredibly important job the volunteers were doing. I've never been involved in the visitation area, which is very, very important for AID volunteers to just work with detainees inside on a one-to-one basis, given how lonely and confined and restricted things are at that facility, and the fact that probably families are nowhere nearby to visit for many of them. But it was the activity at the Welcome Center that really caught our attention and interest. So my wife and I started volunteering twice a month at the Welcome Center starting around 2016, as I said. Wow. And there were several other people on Vashon who were doing the same thing. So we tried to coordinate with them, and we'd kind of maybe once a month have a Vashon volunteers group down there.
Oh, nice, nice. So you started out at the Welcome Center, but then you branched out.
Well, yeah, it was actually 4 years ago, Bill Tudor, who was the chair of the board at the time and one of the moving forces behind AID Northwest, approached my wife and me as to whether we'd want to be on the board. Mm-hmm. And she was very busy with some activities at that time, but I was completing some other volunteer activities back on Vashon, and I thought, yeah, I'd like to give this a try. I had 2 years of the very intense one-on-one, hands-on, providing immediate services, and I thought I would perhaps be able to be of use in the organization. And when I joined the board, the organizational issues, I think, had gotten much better than they were. We formed a strong board of directors. Then AID was able to hire the program manager part-time at first, but then moving into full-time.
Excuse me, now that's Deborah Cruz, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
In my mind, that's made a huge difference in the ability of the organization, because there are a lot of volunteers and it takes a lot of coordination. And the important thing is that Welcome Center cannot be left unattended on any day. The story, the people come out, you just have no idea what their situation is. At the very worst, they have no money, no travel plans. And while they're supposed to have a contact in the United States, it has happened on occasion, certainly more than once, that the contact person says, well, I really can't help them.
And again, it's like when these people are released, they're released into the tide flats. And yep. If Aid Northwest was not there, they would just be wandering around trying to figure out, you know, how to survive.
Exactly. They basically have no idea where they are. We have maps in the RV Welcome Center showing that they're in Tacoma, Washington, and if they're planning to go to Miami, for example, which is a popular destination, show them how far it is and why perhaps we're recommending that they try to get a plane ticket rather than go by bus or train. And there's a lot of uncertainty as to the numbers who are going to be released. It could be as many as zero or one or 20 to 30. Mm-hmm. And at first, there was no contact with ICE about how many people were going to be released. The volunteers at the Welcome Center had no idea. And now Deborah has established enough communication with the staff there that we have an idea of how many people are going to come out, but it's never exact because ICE doesn't know how many people might be coming out after a court hearing.
Well, it's better than just having no idea.
Correct. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the important thing, like I said, is the compelling thing about what AID does is that there are committed volunteers who are going to be there every single day, every single business day. Mm-hmm. And that's just a crucial service. It's a niche service that no one else is providing.
Wow. Yeah, it is truly amazing how it got started and it's going strong.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not that familiar with the very earliest days. That would be a good interview with someone who actually was there when the 501c3 was created, which I guess is when the name was changed from the Northwest Roundtable. Mm-hmm. And when the original RV that was used on the site was purchased. Mm-hmm. I'm just not familiar with that history.
Yeah. Well, we'll find that out.
That's good. Yes. I'd be interested in hearing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So then when did you come on the board?
It was 4 years ago in mm-hmm. 2018.
Okay. And is that the general term for a board member?
The bylaws say that a term is 2 years hmm. and a person can be re-elected once to another two-year term. So 4 years is the maximum after which a person has to be away from the board, I think, for 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And when I came on, the secretary of the board was soon to be going off. So I assumed that position of secretary. I've been doing that for the 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah. I know you emailed me kind of a list of the things that the secretary does. And I just took a deep breath and I went, oh my gosh, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to do. And one of the things that I noticed is that you really have to know the volunteers. You have to know who is doing what. You have to know who needs to get the messages for like the board meeting or minutes for the board meeting. And there's other things too, but you know,
well, I can say that it's and I know I said this to you, it's not that difficult. And often people aren't going to believe that. I think, you know, being the secretary, the most important thing is taking accurate minutes. But mm-hmm. I do the best. I send out what I clearly say is a draft and wait for people to say, no, you're wrong on that. Mm-hmm. This is the way it was. And actually, I did send out a set of minutes last week, I believe. I got some comments back, so I'm mm-hmm. going to be sending out a revised set probably today or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's important that the minutes reflect what happened at the meeting.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that has impressed me since I've come on the board this spring, is that the board members are truly engaged. I mean, a lot of times I've been on some boards where basically you just need numbers for a quota. But the board, you know, they read the reports before the board meeting and they look at the minutes after the board meeting and really have some good input for that.
Yes.
So I've been impressed with how Aid Northwest has been run.
I think, yes. And as I say, I think it's taken a few years. I think Tim has been doing a great job as chair. But as you know, we are a working board. It has been that way. It's not just coming onto the board and attending one meeting once a month mm-hmm. and not doing anything else, just casting votes if necessary. Everybody right. is basically on a committee, at least one committee.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that in the bylaws or is
no.
that just, it's
no,
just something it, that is acknowledged?
Yes. And that's, you know, it's partly because we don't have an executive director who might be picking up some of the tasks that the board members, especially the chair, is responsible for. Mm-hmm. And we have been looking for an executive director, and that committee is still active.
Yeah. So if we have any listeners who we've piqued their interest, then they can get in touch with Aid Northwest about
yes.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've tried to publicize it. In your email, one of the things I looked at and thought, oh boy, you said, well, maybe you could comment on something that was hard for you as part of the volunteer work.
Yeah.
And I can say that I found I don't speak Spanish. My wife does. So when we volunteered at the Welcome Center, mm-hmm. which was until this past December, she is fluent in Spanish. So that helped a lot for the Spanish speaking immigrants. But I think what was hardest for me as a Welcome Center volunteer was really not knowing what was going to happen. Going down, opening up at 2:30 and having no idea, is it going to be a really stressful night? Am I going to get out of here at 7:30 with people on the way? And it's not just the stress about me or the volunteers, it was worrying about the immigrants that we were sending on the way. Do you think that, saying to yourself, do you think that fellow really understood that when he got to the airport, he was supposed to go and go to a ticket agent to get the ticket because for some reason or another, we couldn't print a ticket at the Welcome Center.
Sure. And oh, wow. Yeah.
Just realize how vulnerable the people are, mm-hmm. and especially vulnerable in an emotional situation because of what they've put up with just to get to the border and to get to the detention process.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard some horrifying stories about that.
Yes, yes. And some people come and they're almost traumatized in a way. Traumatized mm-hmm. by the trip and then traumatized by the incarceration. Mm-hmm. The evenings that I worked there especially, and maybe this isn't true for all the Welcome Center volunteers, I think they're an incredibly great group. And my wife and I have said, and maybe this is unfair, I think it's a younger person's job. And by younger, I mean, for me, young is 50 or 60.
Yeah, I hear you.
Someone who is adept with the technology of using the computer and cell phones to come up with the answers, with reservations, information, calling families, dealing with all of that in what can be a stressful situation, especially if there are a lot of people there.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and I've not been volunteering at the Welcome Center, but the reports that I hear coming out have a lot to do with, oh, okay, so we got online and we found a ticket for this and we connected with their relatives there. And, you know, it's like, I would have no clue. I wouldn't have clue one about how to go about that besides not speaking Spanish or, you know, Ukrainian
Yeah. Well, when you read those reports, you realize these people, these volunteers are super efficient. If they say, we had 12 releases starting at 3:00 and we were able to get everybody on their way at 6:30, that's an amazing ability to handle all that, to keep all those balls in the air, making sure that people are going in the place they're supposed to go. And I can say a lot of things have to be checked and double checked just because in the process, I remember one time the person was talking about going to Dulles, which is an airport near Washington, the international airport. And after a lot of research and stuff, we realized no, he was going to Dallas.
Oh, Dallas. Wow.
So yeah. It's a real skill for the volunteers at the Welcome Center to be able to come up with the right reservations and get all those details down and get people hopefully on their way that evening or the next day. The hospitality house, of course, need a place to stay temporarily because not everybody can get on their way the same day.
Well, you've done a wonderful job, you know, on the board and as secretary and kind of keeping things rolling. And, you know, I'd really admire you for that.
Well, thank you. I ended up as secretary because when I came onto the board, I commented that I had just finished being a secretary of a board for 6 years. So I had some experience and they just latched onto that.
Right. Yes. Well, is there anything that you would like to add?
No, it's just we are, as I think a lot of people know, or hopefully know, not supported by any government funding. It's all of our funding is through private sources. Mm-hmm. And we've been very fortunate to have some generous donors. We were able to get the new, more modern RV to act to be the Welcome Center. But like any nonprofit, we rely on funding from committed individuals and faithful donors. And I would hope that people include AID Northwest in their charitable giving.
Yes, yes, because, you know, it's one of the places where people know that their donations are used very wisely and very effectively.
Yeah, they are. And some of our costs, I mean, I'll just take the rental of the hospitality house with the rent, the utilities. That's really absolutely essential for our mission because of the fact that not everybody can be put on their way the same day. And that's a big expense, over $30,000 a year just for the house rental and utilities.
Right. It's so needed. I mean, without AID Northwest, there would be nothing there.
No. And I think if there are so many volunteers who are committed to this, if God forbid the AID were not able to function, that people would be down there doing the same thing. It would be very difficult without an RV and without the organization.
Right.
But I think anyone who has spent some time down there knows this is a critical activity that just cannot be ignored. It can't go away because the government isn't going to do anything for the detainees who are released. They are released with one thing other than what they came into detention with, and that thing happens to be a plastic bag that they use for whatever they're carrying out.
Yeah.
So that's why one of the first things we do for the detainees is to give them backpacks or a satchel so that they can get their stuff out of the plastic bag.
Yeah. It's all wonderful.
Well, thank you and thank Radio Tacoma for showing an interest in AID Northwest.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you for talking with us. This is wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Louisa. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You can register now for our next community meeting. Email us at officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Again, that is officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. AID Northwest is financed 100% through donations from individuals and private organizations. AID Northwest relies on the over 200 volunteers, a small paid staff, and is only possible because of the many generous donors. Please visit our website for donation information. Financial donations, as well as donations of food, clothing, and backpacks are gratefully accepted. There are many volunteer opportunities, from assisting at the Welcome Center, supporting immigrants while in detention, to serving on a committee. You can learn more at the website aidnorthwest.org. That is aidnw.org. You can email us at officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. AID Northwest, supporting immigrants with dignity while in detention and upon release. Thank you.